Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rhyme cut out by Hansi Rabel. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
Okay, I will run the show for John until John actually returns. So, Cindy, if you can tell us what I shouldn't be, I will never be a good host.
That's okay, good. We're back. I think we're back.
We're back, yes, John. Indeed. I was being your host, and I was doing a terrible job. I was fixing to ask Cindy some off-the-wall question, so...
Well, let's move on from there. Steve, something that fascinates me about your work that you do with whoever, I'm not sure who it is you work with, but looking at the Bible and other similar ancient documents to recover the knowledge of lost technology, that's, I find fascinating, don't you?
It is, John, and in all sincerity, too, when it comes to that, that's something that, I mean, it's always gone back for decades. For example, with Adolf Hitler, he was really, really wanting to know as much of the esoteric and ancient knowledge and different hordes of information that could be gleaned. And quite frankly, this is also what has been going on in the Middle East now for the last 20 plus years, is that we have been going after the ancient documents that have been unearthed, that have been discovered. I've had the privilege of knowing some very renowned archaeologists, like Dr. Rami Arav, head of the archaeological part of University of Nebraska. He's also over the Beseda project in Israel. Of course, him being an Israeli, he's more focused on the Israeli artifacts. But even some of the things that we're discovering in Israel, that they never make these things public to you. So even in Gaza, some of the things that have been discovered in Gaza would just blow you away. I mean, they found a giant in Gaza that had been buried up underneath the earth there. They're not making that public at all. And as a result, one of the things that's very interesting about the giants, and we're not talking about 20-foot tall giants or 12-foot tall giants. We're talking about much, much taller than that.
Really? Well, yes. Tell us how tall.
Well, you can get, for example, one of the things that I was asked about a little while back, about 2 or 3 years ago, was there any evidence in the Dead Sea Scrolls that giants could be as big as mountains, so to speak, kind of like what the Native Americans call the cloud breathers. And I remember my answer came back. I mean, when I first got that question, I'm like, I already knew the answer to it, but I said, well, I know this might sound a little bit funny. I said, but it's almost, I couldn't help but think that maybe we had a typographical error in the Hebrew language, not that they were using a typewriter, but
right.
I said, yeah, we do. We have, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have several mentions that when the giants were killed, and this is pre-Antediluvian destruction, that they looked like mountains laying on the ground, which would indicate more than 1,000-foot tall type of beings. And, you know, but yet to concur on that information, that it's not just written in a text there in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but China, in some of their archaeological digs that they did, they were able to discover that there were artifacts buried deep in the ground, like in the case of batteries, very, very similar to Iran. Iran also has very large batteries that have been discovered. But these batteries are kind of like our little AA and C and D batteries that we put in our devices. But theirs are much bigger, almost like a 55-gallon drum. Maybe not quite that big, a little bit smaller. But they were being used, John, in devices that were suitable for people that were huge compared to us. Huge. And there's been multiple different things that have been discovered like that. But when you get into the governments and they're wanting to know about the ancient languages and things like that, they're looking for technology or something that might give them a clue of how the technology works, et cetera, from those different types of writings. And even in our biblical accounts, I mean, what some people would just read over, like you look at Ezekiel, good example, the will within the will that Ezekiel sees. I can't tell you how many scholars would tell you it's a spaceship is what he's talking about.
Really?
Exactly. And another thing that's kind of caught my attention lately that I've really made me scratch my head, and I know Linda Moulton Howe. In fact, I just spoke to her the other day. She was the journalist, and Linda, a very respected journalist, but when she went down that road of exposing the cow mutilations and the, you know, how that these spaceships would, you know, allegedly they would be abducted or they come down and they do this precision incision. Next thing you know, the cow doesn't have any blood, doesn't have any organs. And one thing that they have learned is that there is a certain type of technology. You know, we have technology with cameras where with the naked eye, you could not see when a craft would come down and do that to that animal. But using some of our advanced technology with cameras, we could slow that down and actually see the process of that happening. And then this would take place. Then just look, just back up the clock. Now, I'm only going to say this for people this way here because I want to be a little cautious. Go back 3,000 years ago. Go back to, Mount Sinai, things like that. And look at the verbiage that's written there. Look at the way it's written. And look at, you know, the services that were being offered. It's so, you know, it's just strange. It's almost like it's a technology, but we're reading it more primitively that we think that it's like a primitive form. But maybe it's not as primitive as what we thought it was. And that's something that I like to challenge people to think about, and oddly enough, just the other day, and I study also even, you know, I come from a Jewish background, so I do have sitting on my bookshelves, you know, Zohar, Talmud, Mishnah, Midrash, all these different volumes and volumes of books. And I happen to find in one of the, is actually in the Midrash book that's written in the Jewish archives. But what's interesting is they literally write in there that they believe that the dwelling place of the soul is in the liver. And I thought, I mean, we know that scripturally we see the soul is in the blood. That's one of the places you find it. But they actually included the liver. And I was looking at this, John, mainly because I'm watching the things that are happening in Gaza, and I know that may sound strange, but I'm beginning to wonder with so much world outcry, but yet nothing changes. And I thought, could there be a more demonic plan going on behind the scenes? And we're not talking about the Israeli soldiers that are fighting or the Palestinians that are feeling that they're fighting for their lives, but the Israeli soldiers may feel this is what happened to our people and they're exacting revenge. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about on a deeper level. Because like I said, when they come down these UFOs and they harvest these cattle, you can't see it with the naked eye. And yet so much carnage is going on, so much suffering. And we know that archons feed on suffering and pain. And And even if there is any harvesting going on from these entities, these fallen angels, for lack of better words, for some people to think about, could it be that there is a harvest going on and a sacrifice being prepared? And as crazy as this may sound, I can't help but think it's all connected with CERN, with the Hadron Collider, opening up the dimensions there, because that's how they're going to bring that binary system in. And I have found over and over in the ancient documents that the vaults of heaven is where this thing lurks. That's even in the Colburn document, that the destroyer was literally, it was in a vault. It's like, in a vault is just like what you would think of, like a safe. Right, and so according to some of the people in the in D.C. that I know, they said to me that according to one ancient document that we have on Atlantis, we know that the fallen angels or aliens gave Atlantis the technology to develop a Hadron Collider. That's how they brought in the destroyer in their day, and that's what caused the sinking of their civilization that was more advanced than ours.
Amazing. Before we get to our caller, any updates on the reanimation of Nimrod?
I have not gotten any updates on that as of yet, but oddly enough, though, I do know that Mike has even been speaking about that subject as well. So,
okay,
interesting.
Let's go to our caller. We got Carl in Montana. Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, good morning. So, Steve, I'm fairly decent at chess. And when I look at the things you just said, and then I think of the last thing that Dave said, that communists would do anything to accomplish these goals, including genocide. Okay? I see this chess board out here, and we see Gaza going on, and we see Israel going on, and we look at the people suffering and all of those things, and that looks like pawns. And then you think of the Hadron Collider, you know, that looks like possibly, you know, a bishop, or the church being the bishop moving with all of the wickedness that's being moved through the Catholic Church. And at some point, there's a knight that does this twisted move to accomplish another goal. And the end result is you've got two kings, and one's going to be a king, and one is going to die. And we know how it all's going to end according to Scripture. But my question to you is, and if you also, I want to add first, I've got to back up just a second. If you add BlackRock, like Dave was just talking, and you were talking, and Cindy was talking, BlackRock being the, you know, the owner of so much, and Vanguard all being the owner of so much, there's no stopping that kind of power and money. There's no stopping that. And you look at the spiritual aspect of these things, it seems to me that the only recourse for us, in a sense, is to sort of castle, if you will, Christ in our heart and in our life, and do everything as close to local to get ready for this, to be able to withstand this onslaught that is coming. Because I believe this onslaught, like Dave said in the last hour, we're going to be forced into this civil war. I don't think there's a way out of it, whether you add the added movement of a rook, say, in the financial collapse. You add all of these different pieces, and they're all moving at the same time. And I just don't see any way other than an all-out war. But the end result of it's going to be where it's going to be for the souls of men. And I would like yours and Cindy's response.
Go ahead, Steve.
You know, I agree with you. And it is like a chess game. And just like what you said, all these different play pieces, there's two things I want to comment on this. One, when you, the latter part there, when you talk about being forced to a civil war, that's exactly what they want. And quite frankly, they think that we would be, that the American people are going to be defeated. And they've got very strong plans to make sure that happens. So that being said, the only way we're going to change anything in that regard is to win. All right. Now, secondly, though, here's what I want to really look at, though, because it is truly a chess game. And I want to use an analogy here going back to the times of Jesus when Pilate comes up and he brings out Barabbas and he said, it's a custom for me on this holiday of yours to release unto you one of our prisoners. And which of the two would you rather have released, Jesus or Barabbas? And of course, we know this story. The people had, the Pharisees had got the people to vote for Barabbas. They were basically like a bunch of campaigners out there, you know, trying to lift up their candidate. But what a lot of people don't think about when they look at Barabbas, they think he's some psychopath that killed somebody. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. Barabbas was in prison because he had tried to help liberate the Jewish people from Roman tyranny. He was in there because he killed a Roman, is what he had done in the middle of some insurrection. So in a way, Barabbas was not as bad as guy as what most people think. So it wasn't difficult for the Pharisees to get the people to rally around the freedom of Barabbas, because no doubt the Pharisees would say, look, you want Jesus? All he's talking is about is some fairy tale kingdom that's inside of you, and he's not going to fight these Romans, and he doesn't care, and you know. But Barabbas, on the other hand, this guy cares about us, and he's going to help get us liberated from the Romans. So look at how good it looked, but it wasn't what, I mean, it had to happen. We know that, but nonetheless, though, it wasn't what it really appeared to be. And we get caught up the way it's been painted to us is that he was some psychopath murderer. They just let a murderer loose, you know? And I don't think that Barabbas was quite that type of a bad guy, but yet it was the wrong choice of letting go. Now, with that being said, we're looking at this as a chess game. So we need to make calculated decisions as well. And I think the most important, regardless of, you know, fighting for our freedom in this country and to stop communism, that is mega of importance. But we can never lose the focus that this is not our permanent home. And so we definitely do not want to vote Jesus out of that regardless.
Okay.
Excellent.
Cindy, you got any response to this comment here?
Well, my mind is tracking quite a bit with what Steve just said. I tend to look at things through the lens of scripture and history, and the public ministry of Jesus took place during the fall of the Roman Empire, and I think we're in a very similar situation right now. A global financial collapse that took place in the 2007-2008 timeframe has never been fixed. It was just papered over. And a lot of what we're seeing right now, I think, is because the global financial and economic architecture is crumbling. And so my view on this is sort of, imagine that you are, and your community is a little anthill, and there's some large animals that are fighting, and the ants need to scatter and get away from wherever the giants are fighting. Eventually, the giants are going to stop fighting and somebody's going to win, and then the people can take on the remaining standing giant. I see the BRICS and what's going on with the European Central Bank, some of the things that Jay Powell has done as a Fed chair of that, the Biden administration, and certainly the European Union are not in favor of. So it's a global war from that perspective.
Absolutely. Carol, thank you for calling. We have a break right there.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us Steve Bannoun. His website's IsraeliNewsLive.org. My friend Cindy Smith, and Steve. A lot of Christians are amazed to find out that our intelligence agencies and scientists are looking at ancient documents to recover lost technology and lost science. That flies in the face of most Christians' belief, doesn't it, sir?
Probably does, but, you know, the CIA, for example, we have individual agents that's all they do their entire career. We have those that work specifically just on the, say, for example, the Dead Sea Scrolls, studying that technology. We have them that study just the Mayan documents. We have them, I mean, this is going to sound crazy. We have them on Edgar Cayce's work. We have them on Edgar Cayce is also falls in the category of the study and the technology of remote viewing. That also goes along with one of the books of Daniel that was brought to the CIA folks there in Syria back decades ago. That's how we ended up learning remote viewing. Was in that particular version of Daniel. It's just like the Daniel we have in our Bible. The only difference is Daniel went into more knowledge about how he was able to know the king's dreams. And Inadvertently, we learned the remote viewing technology as a result of that. So, you know, the sad thing is, though, is some of this stuff that they learn, they use it for evil rather than good. And like in the case of remote viewing, that has finally been incorporated by the U.S. government for assassination. They have learned to be able to use that to where they can assassinate people. As crazy as that sounds.
Well, Steve, would it be more accurate to call these men and women analysts as opposed to agents?
Yeah, they're analysts, and that's exactly right. The ones that actually do the research leg of this, even Nostradamus, we have, depending on the type and the volume of documents, depends on the number of agents that or analysts that we have employed for that particular purpose. But it just goes to show the CIA is not just a bunch of assassins running around or spies in other countries. Although we do have spies out there trying to gain that technology, but then we have the analysts in the group there that just spend the hours and hours and hours going through these documents.
What knowledge, if any, do you have regarding the Sanskrit documents?
I have not gotten into that one as much, I don't know of anyone specifically on that group there.
Okay.
The reason
I ask is only about 5% have been translated in English, and some of the documents look like maintenance manuals for 747s. I think there might be a lot there to be gained, but we need to have these documents translated, don't we?
Well, we do, because there's even been discoveries of blueprints, things like that, just as advanced and technologically so as what we have today, of different things, including aircraft and things like that. There is a treasure trove underneath the Smithsonian that's down below ground that they're not going to let nobody know about. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe, John, maybe in the future they will. Let's take it seriously. And, I mean, I know I don't say this as a sales point here, but I just say it as a truth. LifeWave, the technology that David Schmidt developed with that, that's a technology that normally they would not allow out. They would grab the patents and lock it down and wouldn't allow it. But they're starting to allow more and more things to slip out and allow the public to benefit from it. And it's mainly because in 2026, I've been saying it for years, this is supposed to be the year. And I don't know for sure that it will happen, but it's supposed to be the year that they're going to try to finally merge civilizations, those that have been living in our oceans, other dimensions, with human beings. We'll see.
Merge, you mean merge in terms of get together and have a barbecue?
Coexist, yeah. Well,
coexist.
I think some of us are already becoming part of the barbecue as it is, John. We're already being consumed. But that's the other dangerous side, too, because some of those entities, we are definitely dinner.
Well, this is fascinating, to say the least. And, I know you'll give us updates as you get them. And something I wanted to ask you. Is there any agreement between the U.S. government and the Vatican to have access to the Vatican Library? Do you know, sir?
They are very tight-lipped. The Vatican does not release that information very easily. I know of an individual that's been down there, though, has got to see some of the technology, including the weaponry. The Vatican has a very interesting amount of extraterrestrial type of weaponry buried deep underground there. Not to mention the books and stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Yeah, the actual weaponry or just books talking about weaponry?
No, actual weaponry.
Oh, that's important. We have a break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Fix bayonet. Wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. We're living through the worst crime in human history right now on the 30th day of January 2024. That's the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot, which is giving us a 20% increase in all-cause morbidity. This has never happened, ever. Didn't happen during the 1918 flu. Didn't happen during any of our wars. Simply has never happened. But that's what's going on. At my website, at thelibertyman.com, you can educate yourself about what's going on, how it's happening, why it's happening, at the COVID panel. Also, on my website, you'll find products that will help you. We talked quite a bit the first hour about the LifeWave products, great line of products, and, of course, my home business that I stock in inventory myself. That would be the energy cleaner and the mattress pads that go with it at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have with us our friend Cindy Smith. We have Steve Benoon's website, IsraeliNewsLive.org. Steve, the technology that the Vatican has hidden in their archives, their underground, and it is underground, library, warehouse, That's fascinating. What can you tell us about that? You know, in any kind of detail, sir?
Yeah, a couple of different things that I know on that. A good friend of mine, Donnie, his grandfather worked with Hitler reluctantly, is the way it was put to me, but he was part of the Bell Project. He was part of the Cobalt Bomb Project. And he had told me that his grandfather said to him after the war, or right before the war ended, that a lot of the technology that Hitler had was being taken to the Vatican and placed underground in the catacombs there. And keep in mind, when we think about the catacombs underground, most people just probably have vision in their mind, oh, just a little underground library, you know, like, you know, some little basement or something. It is massive underground facility there. And another thing, and I don't know if this is the case with the Vatican or not, but I do know that a lot of the underground places that exist, whether it be here on Earth, Moon, etc., other places, these are places that were built long before we ever came along. We just utilized those facilities. And I've wondered if maybe the Vatican's, because it's so massive, if it wasn't built the same way as some of the bases that we have on the Moon. But going back to what's in the catacomb there, besides the technology that the Germans had hidden there, and a lot of military equipment was hidden there, another friend of mine that was there during the time when they were working on overthrowing this former Soviet Union, he was part of that. And so he was actually stationed at the Vatican, because we know that Ronald Reagan was working with Pope John Paul II as part of that plan to overthrow the Soviet Union. And so he actually was had been given the privilege to go down. I say privilege because not many people are allowed to ever go down there,
right?
To actually go there. And he said that there was some of the most strangest looking military equipment that he had ever seen in his life. He said, you know, weaponry that you wouldn't even know how to identify what it was. And he said the priest that would be down there with him would explain to him, well, this here is an alien technology. This is like what they would call a handgun, but it's like some type of a laser type of weapon. You know, and he said it was just really strange to see all these different things that they had down there. So, yeah, and by the way, they also, that's a lot of times where we get the bodies for we have 21 autopsy rooms that are called alien autopsy rooms at the Pentagon. And the Vatican is one of the sources for, because it's not very common that you get a body that has died from an alien. They typically live about 800 years.
Right.
But when they do get one, sometimes the Vatican allows the Pentagon to do the autopsy on that body.
Amazing. What goes on that we have no knowledge of? Cindy, does this surprise you to hear all this?
Well, not really. If you look at the Vatican, Vatican City, and look at its founding and its political nature, it's a self-contained city, has its own rules, its own laws. And the City of London also has same type of setup. And so you start to see how people, very powerful people, would like to stay in control over what goes on over the entire globe. And they create these little hubs where they're able to do all this clandestine work and control the international monetary system. And so you start putting the puzzle pieces together, and some of these things that at first blush may not make a whole lot of sense start to make some sense.
Absolutely. Well, see, my belief is that when the Romans captured and took control of the ancient library there in Egypt, that they this public story is they burned it to heat up the Roman baths. But I've also been told that they burned up were old tax documents, things that people didn't care about. And they carried back all the important stuff regarding medicine and science and so forth, technology, back to Rome. And when the Roman government was falling apart, the Vatican took control of the ancient library. Any thoughts on that, sir?
Well, it's very true. And not only have they pilfered that information, but also even in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we had documents that I would have given just about anything to have been able to view that the Vatican got a hold of. And I know this because I forget the guy's name right off the top of my head, but there was one archaeologist that had worked on the scrolls there, and he had brought that out, and I'd reached out to him and asked him about that before he passed away. Gosh, it's been close to a decade ago, I guess.
Right.
And he said that the one scroll that the Vatican got, he said it was very similar to what the Book of Enoch would have been like. He said pretty much from that time era. It is believed to be, of course, a copy, not an original, but a pre-Andaluvian type of documentation. And he said the information that was in there was just unbelievable. And at the time I asked him, I said, well, where did it go? He said, well, let's just say it ended up somewhere in Italy. Was his comment on that. Of course, the Vatican, long before the Israelis ever got control of this, they were the ones that were the gatekeeper of these documents. And going back even to the creation of the State of Israel, it's one of the reasons why when Israel was becoming a state, Jerusalem was off limits. And that was worked out with the Pope at that time. And Shariat, who was the first president of Israel, they had already made that agreement that Jerusalem would be off limits for an Israeli state with the blessings that the Vatican would help them to achieve their goal to actually get a state started. So, and that had, I think, to do with the fact that they wanted to keep control of those documents that were coming out of these caves there. And I could only imagine what they may have gleaned from some of those documents.
Well, Steve, of course, that all changed in June 1968 when the war happened and Jerusalem became part of Israel. Now, I understand that the authorities in Israel know the location of the Ark of the Covenant under the Temple Mount, and they're waiting to bring it out to the point where they can deal with the uprising of the Muslims, because once the Ark of the Covenant is revealed, that will prove that there was a temple on top of Temple Mount, which the Muslims deny, don't they?
Yeah, that's very true. And the late Gershon Solomon, he used to be my neighbor when I lived in Jerusalem. We've talked about that particular event. There was actually, and I've been underground there where he's talking about, but back in the when they got control of the Temple Mount, they were digging underneath. They came to this one particular chamber under the Temple Mount where they'd been trying to excavate at. And basically the head rabbi of Israel at the time called Gershon up, and this was in the middle of the night, and said, you've got to come down here. And Gershon told me about this. He said, I went down there, and he said, Steve, he says, when you went into this one place, he said, the overwhelming feeling, the presence that you got, he said, we all just were breaking down in tears. He said, there was just like this unbelievable presence that you knew that you were in. And he said, then the next thing we know, the Israeli government comes in with the military, they force us out, and then they sealed that tunnel off and bricked it up. And I've been right there where that was done at, and it would be almost, it was where the steps that were going up to the Temple Mount, if you've ever done the underground tour there, they tell you this place here, they'll say, oh, this is one of the places where the steps led up to the Temple Mount, and they would talk about what Jesus would have used these steps. And then you see all these rocks filling in like this huge archway there. And that was actually still open in those days back before 1968. So fascinating things that that I've heard about this.
Well, we're in fascinating times here, aren't we, Cindy?
Well, yes. If you start to look at prophecy and the book of Revelation, many, many things are becoming very ominously and in some cases frighteningly true. And I think it's a time when people need to be on their guard and paying attention. I'd like to mention to Steve a book that was recommended to me a number of months ago called The Unseen Realm. That talks about the heavenly host, which Steve probably knows a whole lot more about than I do, but it seems to me both the Old Testament and the New Testament make reference to a heavenly host, which we might consider the good angels, the ones that stayed on God's team, so to speak. And I think it's important to understand that it's not just the forces of evil that we're contending with, but that there's also some good guys out there that are on our side.
Well, that's encouraging. I'll take that anytime, some encouragement like that. Well, Steve, as you move forward with your studies and the teams you work with, what is the overall goal, of course, is to recover ancient technology, isn't it?
Well, that's the government's desire to do, and is to look for that technology. And also in commenting on what Cindy said, it's very true. You know, when you go into these other dimensions, you have both good and evil in these other dimensions. That's one reason why, like you see in the case of the battle that Daniel faced when he was praying and the angel said, I heard your prayers. What was it, 21 days prior to that? But I was battling all these other entities on my way there. And so it's like even when Paul, when he makes the reference, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high wicked things in high places. The word there that he uses is archaia, which is the archons. But yes, there truly is good and evil, and it's just that, and it is an unseen realm. So I'm very interested in that book there that you're talking about, Cindy, because it is an unseen realm, and all it is we're in a body that our eyes are limited to the dimension that we are in. If we had the ability to see, then there are many more dimensions that are there. And in ancient documents, I've seen as high as 14 dimensions. And I don't think, even CERN, I think they've tapped into 7. They are fully persuaded there's at least 10, but archaeologically in writings, there's 14 that I have discovered thus far. So yeah, you can only imagine, and the higher you go, the more good those spirits are. But yes, even good angels are also in, say, the fourth dimension as well. That's why people have such wonderful encounters. Maybe they saw an angel in a dream or something like that. They're actually dealing in a fourth dimension.
Well, Steve, I'll do a segue here, a related topic. That would be the Bible Code. I've read 3 books, and I've interviewed one of the authors on my show. There was a challenge made to a CIA cryptologist to prove or disprove the Bible Code, and he was an atheist, a Jewish person, and he thought, well, this is my chance to show that this is a bunch of silliness. He ended up proving to himself that the Bible Code is real and can be made use of. So what knowledge do you have of the Bible Code being used by these groups, these teams?
That is another thing that is used. In fact, the gentleman that you're speaking about, his granddaughter is a good friend of mine. And it is something that is employed by government. They're always using everything. And I actually used to dabble with that myself. But really, you really need to know what you're doing, because And that guy's case there, the CIA guy that did this, he ended up discovering that Yeshua was truly the Messiah, and right. It caused him to become a believer. And Yaakov is his first name, if I remember right. And so, but the government, they're always, they especially utilize Bible code to try to figure out outcomes of conflicts and things. And the way that is done, if you really want to do it on a more accurate level, you don't want these massive jumps and sequences. I see so many people trying to dabble in this themselves, thinking they know what they're doing, and they really are making havoc of the Bible code. But when you're using the Bible code more accurately, which is what the government tries to do, they're not making some massive jumps of frequencies of letters, like, you know, one every, you know, 10,000, and then it's on this page, but way over on that page. The closer, the tighter that is, the more accurate it tends to be in
relationship to prophecy. Fascinating. We have our last break. We're not going to take any more calls. We'll get back. We'll have Cindy give her update, her summary, and then wrap it up with Steve's summary. We'll be right back.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available anyplace, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information, from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Cindy, your summary for the day and for the week, my dear.
Well, certainly. Thanks, Steve, for such a wonderful discussion. A couple of D words. The enemies of humanity use a number of strategies that all begin with the letter D. And today, I think we uncovered a lot of deception from things that have papered over from the original literary sources of the Bible and hidden in catacombs, and just, you know, completely, people are under deception because they haven't been given the truth. And the other D word, I think, is distraction. I think a lot of the timing of what's going on the border in Texas is designed to distract Americans from watching what's going on the globe, and certainly probably one of the biggest places to be focused is what's going on in Israel. I'm very concerned about this convoy that is forming and going down to Texas. We've seen with the Canadian convoy and also the convoy that came through Cuba here in efforts to undermine that.
All right. Thank you, my dear. Appreciate your summary. Steve, your summary, please.
Yes, absolutely. It has been very insightful. And Cindy, you are a wealth of knowledge, of information there. We are just in such a diabolical strait of time that we're living in right now. And, you know, normally I would always, as John would tell you as well, to be vigilant, be prepared, you know, make sure you have all the necessities of life, you know. But we're also living at such an hour that in this life here. One of the things that I've been focusing with more myself, even on my channel, and that is really trying to get people to understand that true, genuine connection with our Heavenly Father. Not a passive connection, but a connection that even I've discovered in some of the ancient documents that I have read, one in particular, which is one that a lot of scholars should have been canonized, was the Gospel of Thomas. And Jesus literally talks about praying in a way that when the heavens and earth roll back, you would survive it. That's an interesting concept.
It is. Steve, thank you very much. Cindy, thank you. Great show as always. Look forward to having you both back next Tuesday.
Thank you, John.
Okay, thanks, guys. Oh. We covered a lot of territory, got into some really esoteric matters, to say the least, and as always, got the word out to everybody. Tomorrow, let's see, being Wednesday, we'll have my friend Professor McKinney, we'll have Jeff Nyquist, and we'll have Chance if he's available. Thursday, we'll have Dr. Horowitz, and Friday, Marie Lassiter, and looks like, we'll have Pastor Bell with us Friday as well, so. A full week as always. I did a show with Tradcat Knight yesterday, which will be broadcast on his network probably today. I'm not sure when he's broadcasting it. And life moves on. We're continuing to educate ourselves, inform ourselves, and to be able to do the things we need to do to keep ourselves and our families safe. That's what it's all about, is protecting yourselves and your families, as far as I'm concerned. So that's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition, ever get your guns. Please, a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com.
EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.